We thank you for your precious word. And we pray that as we look at your word this morning, you would speak to our hearts in a mighty and powerful way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 1 with me. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 1 again. It is reported commonly there is fornication. Paul begins this chapter by confronting the Corinthians with their problem. He's confronting them with their problem. Now, we understand that Paul is not there, and we're going to address this as we get later in this chapter. And we see that Paul is sitting here, but he is confronting them about what is happening in the church. Now, what he is doing and what he is confronting them about and what he wants to deal with and handle is what we refer today as church discipline. Now, later on, when we get into this, and probably this morning, we're going to look at what the New Testament talks about, how to handle problems in a church, how to handle things in the church. Now, he is confronting some issues that are going to have to be dealt with before the church, and was referred to as church discipline. This is discipline that takes place in the church. Now, what is, we have to understand this morning in regards to church discipline, this is talking about those that are within the New Testament local church. The church has no authority over those outside of the church. If there's issues and people aren't members of the church and they're part of the church, they're in the church and they're doing and they're part of the church, but they're not members of the church and they do something that they should not do, they're involved in immorality, there's ways you have to handle, but you cannot handle it the same way that you can handle those that are part of the church. And we're going to see as we unfold this, as we look at this, that even in here, he is dealing mainly with one of the individuals that's part of this relationship that's happening, not the other individual, because the one individual is part of the church of Corinth, the other one is not. And the church can deal with those within the church. And Corinthians is addressing the church, is addressing those that make up the church, the New Testament local call-out assembly. Let me say this. I believe that is why one of the reasons we have membership in the church. I don't think you have to be spiritual to be, you don't have to be a member to be spiritual. But I do believe the reason we have membership and we have that, because there are certain things given to the New Testament local church. One of those areas is church discipline. And not that you have to practice it, not that we practice it every week, not that we even want to practice it or do it, but we're to keep the church pure, we're to keep the church clean, we're to keep things done within the church, and that's why even later addresses about lawsuits and other things that have to be taking place in the church. Because the church is to make itself be a testimony in the world and stand as a lighthouse, and we cannot allow impurities in the church that will affect the name of Jesus Christ. And there's things that have to be dealt with within the church. And if the person is not part of the church, you cannot practice what is referred to as church discipline because they're not part of that church. And you don't have that authority that is given there. Now, what is we have to understand is it's not nothing magical about being a member of a church. Again, you're not going to be more spiritual in that. But that's the purpose of it. Now let's look at this as we look at the confrontation here. He confronts them because he wants them to see the need. You know, many times in our lives, we don't see the need. Sometimes we don't see what is all happening. Now, we understand that there's a problem. And we're going to see they knew there was a problem. But they needed to be confronted, if you will. They needed to be called on the carpet and said, okay, this is what is going on. This is what you're allowing. This is what you're tolerating. This is what you have allowed to fester and take place in the church. So he's confronting them. He wants them to see this because they had to see the need that something had to be taken. Action had to be taken. And we need to be confronted sometimes that action needs to be taken in our lives. Taken in the life of the church. Taken in. We need to be shown this. Now look at this. It is reported commonly. All right? That does not mean there was gossip going around. That means this. It was common knowledge because these individuals were not hiding what they were doing. These individuals were very open in what they were doing, what they were partaking of. And I think this has happened in our world today, that it is common that individuals are involved in sin and involved in things, not that there was gossip going around, but it was shown and people saw it and they did nothing about it. It was common knowledge that this event was taking place. And it's interesting that as you look at this, it is reported commonly that there is fornication. And so it is referring to in the tense, and if you look at the tense, you look at this, that this did take place and it's still taking place. This is a continual action. This is continually happening. This is not a one-time event that took place and it was done with. This is something that someone is doing on a regular basis and taking place in, and the church knows about it and doing nothing about it. What has happened in a lot of churches, and again, I'm trying to be as careful as I can this morning, because I don't want anyone to come out here and say, well, what's going on in our church? Nothing I know of at this point, all right? But I am saying this. We have to realize, as this is being addressed at this church of Corinth, we need to be careful as a church as well. That we, if things are taking place and individuals are involved in things they should not be involved in, that we could not do not justify it, sugarcoat it, allow it to continue, because it's going to bring impurity into the church and it's going to ruin the name, not just of the church, but it's going to ruin the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, most importantly. And we need to be careful in our lives individually. That we look at ourselves individually and make sure that there's no impure things in our lives. See, this was a common thing. They knew what was going. There was no shock value to what was happening. It was common. I tell you, when I read this and I started studying this, it blew my mind to think that people could see immorality happen and not be shocked by it. But don't you see that in our world today? I mean, how many of you flipped on a television set lately? And how many of you seen certain things that used to shock you that they would even put it on television? And now our thought is, that's not as bad as some things I've seen on television. Why? Because it's become common to us. It's become a common thing. Now, that's in the world. But let's take it within the church. Let's take it within the church for a moment. There are some things that should shock us. That doesn't shock us because it's become common. And we need to be confronted about it because it's been common to us. We've looked at certain things and say, wait a second, 20, 30 years ago, that would have shocked us to see that ever happen in a church. To see someone talk that way in a church. To see someone show that type of affection in the church. To see someone do certain things in a church. That would have shocked us because we come together not to do certain things, but we come together to worship God both in spirit and truth. And that's bringing impurity into the church. And that would have shocked us. But it's become common today. It's become common in the church. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now we're going going to come back to this fornication in a minute, because this really got me. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. You know what that's saying? He's confronting them. He's saying it's been common in the church. It's been going on. It's continuing on in the church at Corinth. But this is something that even the Gentiles says isn't right. Even the Gentiles, and even what had taken place, the Romans said it wasn't right. And even, we're going to look at some verses in a minute, the Old Testament even said what happens if someone is involved in these activities in this. This is something that it was not accepted even by the outside world, but was being tolerated and acceptable in the church. Now I sit back there and go, how in the world can that happen? How can the world have more integrity, more moral way of thinking? How can the world be stronger in some areas than in the church? How can that happen? And that was what was happening. Now Corinth, we know Corinth was a wicked city. We knew Corinth was involved in great immorality and great things happening there. But what they were involved in, they wouldn't even do. The Gentiles wouldn't even do. But this was being done in the church and being accepted in the church. And what that was doing is bringing impurity in the church. It was ruining the name of the Lord. He's confronting their sin. He's confronting them and getting them to the place that they need to see that they need discipline. They need, this area needs to be dealt with. They can't tolerate it any longer. Paul is confronting them. He's dealing with this problem in the church. And what was the problem? And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That word fornication carries the word adultery, incest. It's where we get the word that we have pornographic, and that idea of that. This is the idea that is being taught here. This fornication, this impure act. And the great definition of fornication is impure sexual act. This is what is taking place. And the idea is not to get too graphical this morning. It's not to try to gross anyone out or get into this. But Scripture does go through and is explaining this. And it says this impure act that was being taken place is that this individual who was within the church, all right? This is a person that we would consider a believer, one in the church, had his father's wife. That means was involved in what we would call incest. Now, I do not believe this was his mother, because based upon the wording there, his father's wife, I believe this would be his stepmother individual. And I believe that either his mom passed away, or even his father and mother were divorced, because in Corinth, divorce was something that was running rapid. It's going to be dealt with in chapter 7. We're going to hit that wonderful issue, and we're going to look at some thoughts there, according to Scripture there. It's dealt with there, and this idea here of what is happening is between this individual in the church and what would we refer to as his stepmother and this act that was taking place. Now, it is believed, and we cannot prove this, but this individual, this lady, probably was younger and more of the age of this son and that individual based upon some of the readings and some of the things out there. But that doesn't matter. The idea is this. This individual was involved with his stepmother in an impure act. And greater than that, though, greater than that, Paul was concerned about the act, but he was more concerned about how the church was handling the act. Now, I want to say this. We need to understand that sin is great. And we have to understand, as you look at sin, that they should not have been involved in this activity. They should not have been involved in what was going on and what was happening. That was impure. That was wrong. That was wicked. This is a wicked sin. I remember a story of a friend of mine who's a pastor, and him and his family were at a restaurant, and his son was probably 6-7 years old or somewhere around there, was at a restaurant. This is back when they allowed smoking still in restaurants. And there was someone that was smoking in the restaurant. His son stood up and stood up on the bench there and said, "Wiki, wiki, bad, bad," and pointed to the guy smoking the cigarette. You know, we understand there's sin, and sin is wicked, and sin is vile. And this is what Paul wanted them to see. He's confronting this. But then he has a concern. Because here's the concern. He confronts the sin. We need, if we're going to have church discipline, if we're going to keep the church pure, we have to see there's a need for it. But secondly, I want you to see the concern that's given here. "And ye are puffed up, and are not rather mourned, that he hath done this deed, might be taken away from among you." All right? This is not right. This is not right. Sin is not right. Go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. I want you to see this. Leviticus 18. And look at verse number 8. "The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness." Look at verse 29. "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people." Go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And look at verse number 30 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 30. "A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt." Now, again, there's many other scriptures we can go. Do you know this subject is dealt with a lot in scripture? To me, that, again, blows my mind that this is a common thing that's happening that had to be dealt with. But the focus is on the Christian man. The focus is on the church. The focus is on what is taking place. How do we become so numb to sin in our midst? How do we become so numb in what's going on? He's confronting this. He's dealing with this. And he's going to show his concern. But how do we get so numb with what is happening and what's going on? I believe we get so numb in the sense that we are constant in sinful living. I believe one of the reasons we become numb as individuals and numb as a church, numb in our lives, is because it's all around us. And I know we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And what has happened is we're not just in the world, we're of the world. We are involved in the world's entertainment. We're involved in the world's way of thinking. And what has happened in the church, we become numb to those things. And it no longer shocks us to what is happening because we're constantly in sinful living. It's because we start to condone or cover up what is being done. Because it's someone we love, it's someone that has influence in our lives, it's someone that's done certain things, and so we become numb to it because that individual's done this for us and done that for us, and so we condone it or we cover it up. It's maybe our child's, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, mom, a dad, and we condone all that. And that's why we become numb towards those things. But in this case, the church became so arrogant about what was happening. That is why they became numb to the event. Look with me. Verse 2, "And ye are puffed up." His concern was the sin, but more a concern than he had about the sin is how the church was handling it. And it said, "Ye become puffed up." Ye have become to the place where you think you have arrived and it doesn't matter what you're doing. Paul's saying, all right, you've come so ignorant, you become so lifted up you are cocky in regards to your sin. How many of you have ever seen anyone do wrong, but they act like they're the right in the right? You know what I'm saying? They've done wrong, but man, they're puffed up about it. They actually boast upon it. They actually let you know what they're doing, and they don't think anything of it. And what is happening here is this church, you become so puffed up. Yes, there's a gross sin taking place. There's impurity in the church. But more concern I have for this is that no one is doing anything about it. You're allowing it to continue. You're allowing it to happen. Wait a second. Wake up. Smell the coffee. It's time to deal with the sin that's in the church. Again, I don't believe there's anything happening in our church that I know of, but I believe there's times in our lives as a church that we need to be woken up and say, we can't allow things, we cannot tolerate, we cannot allow sin to happen and take place in the church. And he says, this, don't become numb about this. You have to understand, and you're puffed up and have not rather mourned about it. He says, you are not teachable about this. You're puffed up about it. You boast upon it. You're not dealing with it. You should be mourning over it. That word mourning is one of the deepest types of sadness and brokenness that you could get. And that happens usually when we lose the life of a loved one. Usually when you lose the life of someone that you loved, that is when your heart is broken the most. And that's when you are brought to that place. And what he's saying here is, you should have been broken over the sin of what was happening. But instead of broken over the sin that was happening, you were in the sense rejoicing over the sin that was happening. You're condoning the sin that was happening. You didn't stop the sin that was happening. You didn't do what you needed to do. Instead of being broken, instead of being on your knees and on your face and letting the tears flow and crying and pleading and begging someone to get right with God and get the situation taken care of, you allow it to fester. You allowed it to continue. You did not mourn over it. We need to get to a place in each of our lives that we mourn over the sin in our lives. But not only the sin in our lives, we need to mourn over what takes place in the church. And we need not to allow it to take place. I will do my best, and I believe I have in the 20 years that I've been here to not allow sin to ever fester and continue in the church. Now, I understand there are some sins that happen, and I understand all sin is sin in God's eyes. There are some sins, and we're going to look at it as we get into Matthew here in just a minute. There are some sins that have to be dealt with differently than other sins. They're all sins. We choose our sin. We cannot choose how sin has to be dealt with or the consequences to the sin. There's all sins. And there's different ways of dealing with it. And he's saying here, you're puffed up. You don't realize that there's something needs to be done. And what happens when we become arrogant about our sin and about those things? We justify, we rationalize, and we say, okay, I can continue doing this. It's okay to allow this in the church. Let me give another thought here. You know, a lot of times we walk around like we're spiritual and we know we got a sin in our lives. You know, let me just hit this. This is a side note. But I think a lot of times in our lives, we walk around like we are the most spiritual people that have walked on the face of this earth. We are puffed up in our knowledge and puffed up in our way of living. And we actually have stuff in our lives that's a miss and a mess. And we're not dealing with it. We tolerate it in our own lives. We tolerate it. We allow it to happen in our lives. And we're not dealing with that. And we're puffed up and we're not mourning over it. But But we go around acting like everything's okay, everything's great, everything's wonderful, and we really are not pure in what God wants us to be, and we're not going to have God's blessing upon our lives, and we're not going to have God's blessing upon the church. We're not going to have those things because we have this impurity in our lives that we haven't dealt with. And we go around and we look like we're all good and grand, and we know the words the same. We know how to act. We know how to dress. We know how to talk. We know how to do those things. But we have that impurity in our lives. We're puffed up. We're so good to go ahead and say, well, you need to get right with God, and you need to do this, and you need to deal with this. But we're not looking at ourselves and what is happening in our lives. It says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He's saying you haven't dealt with the person that's caused this name, that caused the name of Jesus to be defiled. You haven't removed the individual. You haven't dealt with the individual that's bringing impurity in the church. I mean, I sit back and I think for a moment. If Rome wouldn't do this, if Corinth, those in Corinth wouldn't do this, how in the world is the church allowing this to happen and not do anything? I look back and I see some sins in this world today, and I see some things that even this world says is not good today. I know it's hard to find, but there are some things that this even most people in this world would say, no, you should not be involved in that. And you know, one of the sins that still is one that most people do not allow, that even in this world do not think is right. Do you know there's even some cities and states that have laws still against this sin? It's a sin that's being talked about here, this of incest. This is still one that many in this world today, now the Church of Corinth and those there said, no, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be involved in this. It's still in many books and many laws. You can look it up. Many states say this is illegal to be involved in this. So if the world looks at certain things and says it shouldn't be done, why is it being allowed in the church? Why is it being done in the church? The church should be set apart and above living a holy life, glorifying God. But why is it being allowed in the church? Why is impurity being there? You see the confrontation. You see his concern there. He says, this one should have been removed. This one should have been taken care of. This should have been dealt with. I know I'm probably as guilty as most people in this room. There are times that there are certain things that we should have dealt with that we don't deal with. How many of y'all have ever done that before? How many times do we think it's easier to let it just try to disappear on its own? You know, we want to do the hocus pocus and the little thing, boom, poof, it's disappeared, it's gone, right? But do you know all magic tricks are just tricks? Do you know that most of the time when the rabbit disappears, the rabbit didn't disappear, there's a little mirror inside there with a little another little hole that lifts up, the rabbit just goes back, that comes down, and it looks like you got an empty box. I just ruined all your guys' imagination there of magic tricks. And even when they take a big box and they put a human being in there and they put it in there and they disappear, they're still in the box, by the way. A lot of times there's the bottom floor there and they have a hole down there and they crawl down there and there's a mirror and you don't see that. But it's just a trick. It's just a thing. And what is happening here is, as we're looking at this, it should have been dealt with, but we think it's just going to disappear. It's not just going to disappear. It's not going to make itself better. It's not going to get better on its own. Now, I know, and I'll be honest, sometimes I want things to get better on its own because it's easier that way, right? Now, how many of you know there's sometimes that you should take some medication at times? But how many of us are stubborn and we don't want to take the medication we're supposed to take sometimes? And how many of us have gone a longer time with the sickness than if we would have just taken the medication we were supposed to take? All right? because we think somehow it's just going to get better on its own. How many problems have you tried to fix just letting it get better on its own? What usually happens? It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And he's saying, you didn't deal with what needs to be dealt with. You didn't mourn over it. You were puffed up about it. You didn't deal with the sin. That's the concern. But now we see the confrontation. We see the concern. But I want you to see the command given here. Look at verse 3. We see the confrontation, we see the concern, but let's look at the command. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 as we look at the command, what he says. He says, for I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I've already come to the conclusion how we have to deal with this, because I believe he knew what Scripture taught, how to deal with the problem that was happening in the church. And he's going to go in, and we're probably not going to get in that verse there today. We'll probably get in it next week, where it says, verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction. But he's saying, I've already come to the place how we're going to deal with this. I know I'm not there. Even though I'm not there physically, I'm there with you. I'm there with you in the presence. I know what's happening. I know what's going on. And I want to be a help to your church, because I don't want your church to be impure and the name of Jesus to be ruined. I want you to be helped, because God's word tells you how to help this. Go to Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 this morning. And I want us to look at a few verses here in Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, shows us how to deal what we refer to as church discipline. Now we see there's a reason for it, because of the impurity. We see that they weren't dealing with it, and it has to be dealt with. And if it's not dealt with, there's going to be problems. If that one is not removed, see, what was happening is that one, maybe it's because of influences, maybe because of power, maybe because it was money, but the church didn't deal with it, and that was causing problems in the church. You know, sometimes we look at individuals and say, well, because it's that person, we're going to not deal with it, because that person gives that much money to the church, or that person does this, or that person does that. No, you can't tolerate no matter what. It doesn't make a difference who they are. It doesn't matter, make a difference who their name is. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter. If it's sin, it has to be dealt with. And Matthew 18 then goes on, and he says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians, hey, you got to deal with this. The command is to deal with it. The command is, all right, we got to go forward with this. I'm going to tell you, I know I'm not there, but I'm going to give you the advice that you need. And that's Matthew 18. Now, I want us to understand this. Church discipline is just that. It's church discipline. It's not deacon discipline, it's not pastor discipline, it's not individual discipline, it's church discipline. But before you get to what we refer to as church discipline, there are steps that has to take place. If your brother does something against you, if this happens, if there's something there, look at verse 15 of Matthew there, 18. More of thy brother shall trespass against thee. If your brother sins against thee, if there's a sin that takes place, what are you supposed to do? Go to the pastor right away, right? Now, I want to say this. I think in our churches, we do it wrong. We go to the pastor before we go to the individual. And what we do is this. We go to 20 other people and say, pray for me as I go and confront this person about what they did to me, and I want you to pray for me. No, it does not say that. Now, you need to go pray before you go to that person, but you don't need 20 other people praying for you before you go to that person. And do you know that unless it's going to take someone's life or cause something like that, that you don't need to go to the pastor first either? Now, if someone's going to commit suicide or something like that, yes, I understand that. But that's not what this is talking about. What this is saying is, if someone's done something against you, you go to that person before you even go tell the pastor. And you go to that in person, and you pray about it before you go to that person. And you're prayed up, and you're in the right spirit, and you're in the right mindset, because you're not there to put that person down. You're not there to condemn that person. You're there to help that person and see that person come back to the right pathway and live the right way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go and you take that and you go to that individual. But if that individual does not respond right, if that individual does not do right, then the Bible says the next step is this. Then you take two or three witnesses. And let me tell you, if you look up those witnesses, and what it's talking about, it's not taking someone that's going to agree with you. It's talking about those who are godly, those who are going to follow the scriptures, those who are there to help see that person restored, not to tear that person down. Because I believe sometimes in regards to church discipline, in regards to handling situations, in regards to handling things in our lives, and when someone does harm and things against us, we want to get our group to go against them. And we bring our witnesses because this person didn't respond right. And all we're doing is gaining up on that person instead of doing what the Bible's teaching as trying to see that person restored and get things right. But bring godly people. Bring, at this point, you could bring the pastor if you need to. You could bring a deacon. You could bring a Sunday school teacher. You could bring someone else. But bring someone that is spiritual. And you go and you confront. And you go once again. And you deal with that. And you want them to get right. But it says if you go by yourself, it doesn't. You take two or three witnesses, it doesn't. Then the next step is this. Then it's brought before the church. Now in 1 Corinthians, Paul is addressing, we're going to come back to this in a minute. He's saying, he's telling them, it's got to come before the church. It's at this point, we've gone through the steps. At this point, it's common. At this point, everyone knows what's going on. At this point, it's been tolerated. It hasn't been dealt with. At this point, this person knows what he's doing is wrong, but it hasn't been taken care of. He hasn't repented. He hasn't done those things. Now it has to go before the church. It has to go for the church house. Now let me tell you, the purpose of bringing stuff before the church is not to air someone else's dirty laundry. Do you know some people only show up to certain things if they know they're going to get the scoop? What do you mean, preacher? I tell you, it's interesting that some people don't ever come to certain services. But if you're going to have a special church business meeting, everyone in the woodwork shows up. Wait a second. If you can't make it to a Wednesday night, you have no business coming to church business meeting. That happens on a Wednesday night. Hey, you can't make it to a Sunday night service. You can't make it to this because it's a normal service and normal things, and you never make it to that. But man, someone is going to be brought before the church and something's going to be dealt with. Woo! I'm going to give up my going on my boat today, and I'm going to make sure I'm at church. Woo! Because I want to know what's going on. You bunch of nosy Nellies. None of your business. Because the purpose is this. The purpose is not to air someone's dirty laundry. The purpose is not to do those certain things. The purpose is what? To see restoration taking place. And if you're only showing up because of that, you're not in the right spirit to even be in that meeting to see restoration take place, because you better be prayed up that God will do a work in the life of that individual and you see that people get right with God. And so what has taken place has gone before it's come before the church house, and this individual, it's going to be dealt with. And there's times that come that even if you see this, look at this in verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell unto the church, but if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Now go back to 1 Corinthians. Okay? For I verily, as absent the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that had already done this deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? When you gather together in my name, when you come together in my spirit, when you come together with my power, then you deal with the sin. I believe that is a key. Because church discipline or dealing with sin in the church and not tolerating it and bringing it up, it has to be done within the walls of the local church. We even see this in 1 Corinthians. Then it has to be done in his name. It has to be done in his spirit. It has to be done through his power. That's how it has to be dealt with. Because if we deal with it in our own power, in our own strength, in our own ways, it's not going to bring unity to the church. It's going to bring disunity. It's not going to bring purity to the church. It's going to bring impurity to the church. It's not going to lift the name of Jesus up. It's going to dishonor the name of Jesus. What do you mean, preacher? There's been church discipline done in churches today that actually destroyed the name of the church and the name of the Lord, because they didn't come in the name of Jesus, they didn't come in the right spirit, and they didn't have the power of God, and they dealt with things. Oh, they dealt with sin. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's all in the news everywhere. It's all over the place. And this has happened, and that's happened. There's been pictures, and you can go online today, and you can watch some church meetings and some church things that, man, people, the police had to come and deal with things and deal with that because of discipline and that. And, I mean, it's all over there. And let me tell you, why was it dealt that way? Because they didn't come in the name of Jesus. They didn't come in his spirit. They didn't come in his power. They didn't deal with it the way they were supposed to deal with it. And the purpose of restoration, and the purpose of seeing that brother restored unto God. But if he doesn't hear, then you got to go a step further. And what this step means, and we're just going to hit just a brief of this, because we're going to pick up back next week right here and go into the next section that talks about leaven. And this is why it has to be dealt with. See, he's going to go in and he's going to explain why it has to be dealt with. Because if this sin continues, what it's going to do to the church. He deals with this in 1 Corinthians here. But he's saying basically this. It's got to be dealt with, and you got to remove this individual. And we're going to hit what that means turning over to Satan next week a little more. But this idea is basically this. That you are treating him, as Matthew says, as one that has committed heresy, a publican, you're considered one that's done these things, and you're removing him. It's not that you don't talk to him ever again. It's not that you don't show him godly love again. It's not that you do this to even turn him over to Satan. What this is saying is that you're no longer going to condone the sin, and you're not going to treat him as you treat other members. He's not going to have the benefits of being a member. He's going to be what our term we use today, and I want you to understand that it's called excommunication. And I know some people, ooh, as soon as you hear that word, but it's this idea of removing from that place where one is receiving the benefits and all that goes with it when they don't deserve it. And it's this idea, this, that one has to be removed from the church because the church can no longer support that if the church wants God's blessing and not want to ruin the name of Jesus. Because if the world, the Gentiles, and the Romans don't agree with this, and they see this, and see the church is condoning it, and they don't remove this individual, and they don't turn this individual over and deal with it and do those things, it's going to ruin the name of Jesus. You see, we need to make sure that we look at each of our own lives. Make sure we're pure. Make sure we're right. Again, I don't think anyone's involved in this type of impurity. But I think there's other impurities we get involved in at times. And I think sometimes we all tolerate sin to a point in our lives, and we need to deal with it. I think there's times in churches, just like as a parent, sometimes it's easier to just let it go and not deal with it. Sometimes in a church, we think it's easier to let it go and not deal with it. But if we truly love one another, if we truly love our children, if we truly love ourselves, we will deal with the sin that's there. And again, the purpose is to follow God's principles, God's teachings, so we can see that individual come back to the Lord and not ruin the name of the church or the name of our Lord. My life is to be a lighthouse. My life is to be a light shining bright in this community. The name of this church ought to be a lighthouse in this community. It ought to shine bright. But when individuals in the community see individuals that make up this church that are involved in impure things and not right things, what does it do to the light that is supposed to be shining bright? That is what was happening in Corinth. And it had to be taken care of. I'll tell you, as we get into 1 Corinthians even more, we're going to hit a lot of stuff. And some of the stuff is applicable to our church, some of it is not. But I think we can find some application in each of the areas that we can help us in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual growth with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just use this in a mighty and powerful way to just work in our hearts, work in our lives, show us, help keep us pure, help keep us right. Lord, if a problem does arise, how to handle it the right way, how to do things right and what we should do. And Lord, just teach us through this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me. No looking about this morning. Go ahead and stand this morning. Maybe here this morning, we didn't hit a lot this morning, but maybe here this morning you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me just say this. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. He came to this earth to die for you, to shed his blood and rise again the third day according to the scriptures. Has there been a time in your life when you called upon Jesus? You repented of your sin and by faith turned to him and said, Lord, I need you. Lord, save my soul. Are you saved this morning? Maybe you've been saved this morning, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is a step of obedience after salvation. It's a following Christ's example. It's identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you come this, you're not cleansed by baptism. Jesus Christ has already cleansed you. What you're doing is you're saved. You're coming to the baptism. And what baptism is saying, Lord, I want to follow you.